بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, last night we had commenced with Surah Al-Ma'idah, and as we had mentioned, various ahkam specifically pertaining to the issues of halal and haram were mentioned in this surah. And here in the opening verses of the 7th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again speaks about halal and haram, and specifically the issue of tahreemul halal. Many a times we may have heard of tahleelul haram, tahreemul halal. These are two aspects pertaining to our life in this world, and both of these are incorrect in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more common one we understand is where a person makes tahleelul haram, something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems to be impermissible, unlawful, and a person regards that to be permissible. Then if this is his true belief, then this can take him out of the fold of Islam. But here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the opposite, which is tahreemul halal, when Allah has regarded something to be lawful, to be permissible, to be allowed, and a person now deems that impermissible and makes that unlawful for himself. So this also is incorrect. So here Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. That, O people of Iman, do not deem as unlawful those pure and wholesome things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted for you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, and do not transgress in this manner. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not love those who exceed the limits, those who cross the boundary. In other words, a person can exceed the limits even in this sense, that he regards certain things which are permissible to be impermissible. And the incident behind this, on one occasion, three sahaba came to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and they asked her various questions pertaining to the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his practices within the home. Very lengthy incident. Eventually these three individuals, all of them take an oath or take different oaths. So one of them says that, Wallahi la akulu lahma, that I, by Allah, I will never eat meat again. In other words, he meant this as a sacrifice to try and put some restriction on himself as a means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I will never consume meat for the rest of my life. Then the second person says, Wallahi la ankihun nisa, wa la atazawajun nisa, I will never get married. I will live a life of celibacy, and in this way I will gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third person says, Wallahi la anamu ala firashin, that by Allah I will never allow my back to touch the bed at night. I will devote the entire night to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes home, and when he hears of this, he becomes upset. And then he announces and he calls out that, where are those individuals who made these, or who took these oaths? And then he clarifies and he sets the record straight. He says, Wallahi, ana asumu wa uftiru. Certain days I keep fast, on other days I don't fast. Wa ana akulu lahma, I consume meat. Wa ana ankihu nisa, I enter into nikah and marriage. And then he says, wa ana aqumu al-layl wa anamu, sometimes during some portions of the night I sleep, I take rest, and during other portions of the night I stand up in ibadat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, there is moderation within my sunnah and moderation within the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an extremely important aspect, that a person understands that in all the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the laws of Allah, whether it be those things that are halal, those things that are haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept balance and moderation in this. Yes, we find in the past, we perhaps have heard or have read about the mashayikh of the past, that many halal things also they would shun and abstain from, and they would advise their murideen and their students to do the same. This was their high level and them trying to put some restrictions on themselves. But for us in today's time, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would mention that we are weak. We are the weak part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Allah has made halal for us, enjoy it. Within the boundaries, within the limits, what Allah has made permissible for us, enjoy it. There's no problem in this. He would say, eat the best of food, live in the best of homes, no problem. But just abstain from guna and sin. Don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand where the limits are. What Allah has regarded as impermissible, that you don't do. And he says, in this way you will become a wali of Allah, you will get the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further clarifying that a person should not be questioning what Allah regards as permissible, what Allah has made impermissible. The next verse Allah then says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. That, O people of Iman, do not delve too much into those matters, and do not ask too many questions about those things which if they have to be disclosed to you, revealed to you, then it will cause difficulty to you, it will cause harm to you. And here also, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had spoken about the compulsion of Hajj. So he had explained to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj fard, and these are the different a'mal and arkan of Hajj that a person will have to do. So one Sahabi asked that, Ali kulli amin ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, is this obligation fard upon us every year? Do we have to go for Hajj every year if we have the means? Nabi alayhi salam remained silent. He asked the question a second time, again he remained silent. The third time then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, it is only once a lifetime. But then he explains that, see, had I answered in the affirmative, had I said that it is fard every year, then because of my position as the Nabi of Allah, Allah would have made it fard, would have made it compulsory, and how difficult this would have then become upon you. So therefore, whatever I give you, you take this. When I command you, you fulfill my command. When I tell you to abstain from something, then you abstain from it. But do not ask too many questions when it comes to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why has Allah made this permissible? Why has Allah made that impermissible? Sometimes these thoughts do go through the mind. This is only natural. But do not verbalize it. Do not utter these statements. And do not delve too much, or do not think too deeply about these things. There is wisdom, there is benefit, and there is moderation and balance in every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, towards the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an incident that will take place on the day of Qiyamah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam forward, two or three pages are dedicated to this entire incident, where Allah says that, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ اذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِكَ, that Allah will address Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and say to him that, do you remember the favors, the bounties, the blessings that I had showered upon you and your mother Maryam radiallahu anha in this world? And Allah will then go on mentioning various different favors and ni'mats that He had given to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One of these bounties is mentioned here, what is known as the ma'ida, the tablecloth or the dastarkhan. And this is also the wajhu tasmiyah, the reason for the name of this particular surah, Suratul Ma'idah, where the followers of Nabi Isa had asked him that, why don't you ask Allah, or rather, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكُ, is Allah able to send down a tablecloth for us from the sky, laden with food, and we will then be able to consume this food? So Isa alayhi salam immediately warns them that, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you have true iman, true faith, then fear Allah. It is not correct for you to be making these demands and to be challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they explain that, نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, that we have no doubt in your message, we have no doubt in the ability, the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is just a request from our side. Nevertheless, Isa alayhi salam makes dua to Allah. Allah sends down this particular tablecloth. So this was the reason for the surah being named Suratul Ma'idah. And then after Allah mentions all these bounties, these favors, now Allah will say to Nabi Isa that, did you command your followers and your people to worship you? أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهِينِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. So Allah will pose this question to him, and Nabi Isa will then reply, Subhanak, that glory be to you, O Allah, you are free from faults, free from flaws, free from having any partners, and it is not befitting for me that I make such a claim, such a statement. And thereafter he will say to Allah that, see, my followers, they have transgressed. I was only watchful over them for as long as I was in this world. فَلَمَّا تَوَفَيْتَنِي, but when you raised me up to you, then I was no longer in control of what they did. And then he says to Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, that, oh Allah, these are your slaves. If you wish to punish them, nobody can question you, nobody can oppose you. On the other hand, وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, if you choose to forgive them, then you are أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, this will not detract from your might, from your power, from your capability. So in this way, he is very subtly urging Allah to forgive these people. A very amazing incident will terminate on this. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu has mentioned that one night in Madinah Munawwara, the masjid was full, and I noticed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam standing on the side and performing salah. And when the crowd had dispersed, I went close to him and I began performing salah also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam grabbed hold of me and he positioned me towards his right hand side. And thereafter, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu also came. He also began his salah. Nabi alayhi salam put him on the left hand side. And like this, the entire night came out, each one reading their own nafil salah, tilawat of Quran. And when it was now close to Fajr time, Abu Dharr says that, I said to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, did you hear the Nabi of Allah repeating one verse the entire night? Why don't you ask him what was the reason for this? This particular verse, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So he says to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, why don't you pose the question to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ask him, what was the reason for you repeating this verse the entire night? So Abdullah bin Mas'ud says that, see, I don't have the guts to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, why don't you ask him? So Abu Dharr goes forward, radiyallahu anhu, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, something very strange happened. We were standing on the side of you and we heard this, that you were repeating this verse the entire night. What is the reason for it? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says that this was the address of Nabi Isa to Allah, and he urged Allah very subtly to forgive his people. But at the same time, he left the matter in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. But my compassion and my love, my affection and care for the ummah is that I begged and I cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the right to intercede on behalf of my ummah. I was not happy to just leave it to Allah that if you wish you punish them, if you wish you forgive them. But rather I begged and I pleaded to Allah that you give me the right to intercede on behalf of my ummah. And the answer that Allah gave me is such that if we have to tell this to the people, then they will leave out reading salah also. In other words, they will completely rely on my intercession. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu then says, O Nabi of Allah, should I not go and give this glad tiding to the people that they will attain your intercession on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi alayhi salam permits him, and as he is about to leave, Ibn Mas'ud then says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why don't you rather stop him from this? Because people will then only rely on this. They will stop making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changes his mind. He tells Abu Dharr that rather don't go and inform the people of this particular glad tiding. And this continued then throughout the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. After his demise, this is when Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu now made mention of this particular incident. And this was because he did not want to make kitmanul ilm. He did not want to conceal this particular glad tiding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how we then came to know of this incident. But the lesson that we take, respected brothers and elders, the care and the compassion that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for you and I. Without meeting us, without seeing us, and many different ahadith we have heard many times before, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to his followers as his brothers, as his family members, so to say. This intercession of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as much as we see the glad tiding in this hadith, but ask ourselves the question, are we really deserving of it? What is my ta'alluq, my connection with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Am I habitual in reading Durood Sharif at least? We should try and make this our habit, our practice, that every day, at least 100 times Durood Sharif, the shortest, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now at the tasbih counters, even as a person is driving, or as he's walking out of the masjid, within 1 or 2 minutes a person can complete 50, 60 times Durood Sharif, and in this way create some ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then inshallah we have hope that on the day of Qiyamah we will also receive his intercession. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.